We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth? Truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than from others in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, helping them choose life, and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call #250 and say baby. That's #250, baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
We inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Once there was a merchant who ran a small general store in a little community out west. Considering himself a religious man, he was known far and wide as the merchant who always quoted a Bible verse when ringing up a sale. One day, a traveler passing through the little community stopped at his store. "Mister, I have one of the most expensive show horses in the country out there in the trailer behind my car, but I forgot to bring a saddle to ride him with. I hope you have a saddle because this is the last store before I get to the show." "Yes, sir, we stock saddles," the owner replied. "Good," said the traveler. "Could you show me one?" Well, the merchant went to the back of the store and picked up the only saddle he had in stock. He carried it out to the stranger. "How much is it?" the stranger asked. "Well, that saddle cost you $20, replied the merchant. "Man, I can't put a $20 saddle on that horse." "Don't you have anything better than that?" asked the stranger. "Just a minute and I'll check," said the merchant. He went to the back of the store, stayed a few moments, then he came out again bringing the same saddle. The stranger didn't recognize the saddle as being the one he had just looked at. "This saddle is made of some of the finest material available," said the merchant. "It's one of our finest saddles." "How much is it?" asked the stranger. "Well, sir, that saddle will cost you $400, replied the merchant. The stranger looked disappointed. "Mister, that horse out there deserves the very best. Don't you have anything better?" "Just a moment," said the merchant. Again, the merchant went to the rear of the store. He stayed a few moments and then brought out the same saddle again. "This is the finest saddle we have," he said. "How much is it?" asked the stranger. "Mister, that saddle is going to cost you $1,200. "Good, I'll take it," the stranger said. He reached into his wallet and picked out 12 $100 bills to pay for that saddle. Then he took the saddle and left. Now, the men in the store who had witnessed the incident were anxiously waiting for the store owner to ring up the sale to see which Bible verse he would quote. They all gathered around as he headed for the register. "Sam," one of them asked, "what verse can you quote after a deal like that?" The merchant thought for a moment, then hit the keys on the register. As the drawer came open, he quoted a paraphrase of Matthew 25:43. "He was a stranger, and I took him in." You know, the ability to memorize scripture is a good thing. I've read of people who have memorized the entire Bible, and I've met scores of people who could tell you the chapter and verse of numerous scriptures, particularly those they are interested in. Personally, I'm kind of on the dog.
All right, welcome to The Core. Thanks for joining me today. Rick Green, I've got you on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Walker's got you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Of course, this week we confused you by both being with you on Tuesday. And we try to do that just to keep you on your toes and make sure you're paying attention. But anyway, thanks for joining us. Phone number today, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Lots of headlines to talk about. Lots of just things going on in the world. And then I want to talk a little bit about our attitude going forward, because there's some, as Walker and I talked about a little bit Tuesday, but as everybody's pretty well aware, a lot of infighting going on within the movement. A lot of questions about, you know, diet of information. Who do you listen to? Who can you trust? And when should we call out people from our own side, let alone the other side, when they are, shall we say, just being vessels for evil? I don't have a nice way to say it. At the very least, vessels for confusion and division. So anyway, we'll get to all that. But obviously, I guess maybe hottest headline of the day is the whole Epstein file thing. Don't let anybody ever tell you they can't pass a law fast. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is when there's enough political pressure, your state legislature, Congress, whoever it is, they can move as fast as they want, as fast as there is political will to move. And in this situation, months and months, shall we say even years, of political pressure just exploded and came, you know, finally to a head. And there was the political will to get this thing passed quickly. And then the president signed it essentially overnight. And so I think there's a 30-day minimum for them to get the documents released. And no redactions unless they have explanations, and it's got to be, you know, protecting victims or something like that. And I'm sure there'll be some wrangling over even that. So I just thought, you know, and I don't want to spend all day on Epstein and Epstein files for sure. But, I, you know, Walker and I talked about it a little bit on Tuesday. And now that it's, you know, the president has signed it, and some people's views, you know, completely changed his position on it, initially saying don't release them, to the point of calling on them to be released, and then of course signing the document or signing the bill himself. Lots of reasons I think for that. I think Walker and I kind of covered that enough on Tuesday, but you know, there's just a lot of second guessing about what will be in the remaining files, and there's a lot of what I described on Tuesday as just distrust. Personally, I distrust what's actually getting released at this point after all of this time and after the manipulation of the Democrats when they had control of these agencies and they proved that they were willing to be dishonest and proved that they were willing to weaponize these agencies. There's no limit to what they would do with the files in order to either try to damage President Trump or other people that really didn't do anything wrong. And I say that without, you know, having seen the files. I get that. I understand that I'm saying this as an outsider, no inside information. I don't have any, you know, sources in the DOJ or any of that are telling me anything. But just, you know, just knowing the way Democrats operate and knowing the way people that are only for them, it's all about power, and there is no right and wrong. There are no moral absolutes. There are no truths. These people believe in moral relativism. They don't believe there's a God, so there's no accountability. So therefore, they truly believe the end justifies the means. So you have to recognize that there is nothing these people are not willing to do, and so that's why I'll just say the same thing I said Tuesday. Once these things are released, I still don't know that what I'm looking at is true or accurate. But nonetheless, it's been done. I think in many ways this is one of those things where you just say, hey, finally throw me in the briar patch. Let's just get there and get this done. And at the end of the day, it might be exactly where I want to be. Now, let's not forget that Trump is a mud wrestler. He does not mind being in the trenches. He does not mind being in a just tit-for-tat dogfight. And so whatever's going to come out with this release, whatever flights he's going to be listed as being on or wherever they're going to try to drag his name through the mud, he has obviously reached the conclusion of, oh, that's fine. You can do that because it's you Democrats that are going to be most tainted by this. It's, you know, Trump may have been on some flights with Epstein, as I'm try to describe on Tuesday, that where, you know, you just have to understand how the world of politics and where politics and wealth collide, and you have busy, successful, powerful people trying to get from point A to point B. They're going to jump on a jet with anybody that's offering that opportunity to get there faster and to get from one event to another. And I think that's where you're going to find the Trumps and others, their names being thrown into this mix. What's going to be most interesting is going to be the Clinton type people that most likely did go to the island, and most likely, you know, based on other evidence in other situations, would have gladly participated in some of the activities, shall we say. So I think that's the calculation at this point, is that there's going to be a lot of people harmed and damaged, but it's going to definitely fall mostly on Democrats, and there might be a few Republicans that get caught up in the mix. But we shall see. That's my take on it. Love to know your take on it. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Would love to hear from you on that one or any other subject, comments, questions, insults. Bring it on. I have not talked about this in a while, but it is back in the headlines, and that is the whole COVID vaccine, not just the mandates, but now all the harm that has come from the vaccines. And now you have a totally different administration that, instead of, you know, flat out lying to you constantly and pushing you to get these what turned out to be very harmful vaccines, not even really vaccines, these experimental drugs introduced into your body, that you now have an administration and a guy in RFK that approaches all of this with skepticism, which is how every scientist should approach any medical or scientific issue, is with skepticism and constantly wanting to test the data and retest and retest and retest. That's called science. And RFK's like that. And so you've got somebody that's, you know, I know he hasn't ever got a lot of detractors out there. A lot of the people that were, you know, as excited as I was that he was going to be on the team and be in this kind of a position, that have, you know, are already throwing him under the bus, just like they've thrown Kash Patel and Dan Bongino and anyone that hasn't given them everything that they wanted overnight. Folks, we got to be, you know, a little bit more discerning with this situation. 10 months. They've had 10 months at this point, and they've been dropped behind enemy lines into hostile, incredibly hostile territory, where, you know, they have a handful of lieutenants and a handful of their team up against thousands, hundreds of thousands of entrenched, deep state, swampy creatures. And so I am not one of these people that is going to throw them under the bus quickly or say they haven't done enough fast enough. I understand frustration and impatience and wanting more indictments and all of those things. I am with you. I would love to see Anthony Fauci perp walked, handcuffed, and 100% prosecuted for the persecution that he led on the American people and anyone that did not buy into his COVID cult and all of his, talisman, signaling of wearing five masks and goggles and all the other absurdities that he tried to force on the American people. Absolutely, that man should be prosecuted along with Rachel Walensky and so many other officials out of these agencies that were taken over by the pharmaceutical companies. But I'm not at the point of saying nothing's happening. There's zero being done. I'm not there yet. Maybe I'll be there a year from now. Maybe I'll be there after the first of the year. I've said since this summer that I would give it till the end of the year before I started complaining about nothing happening. And actually what I said was, if there are no indictments whatsoever, you're going to hear me screaming from the rooftops after the first of the year. Well, there's been some, not in this area, not in the vaccine area where I think there needs to be a lot of indictments, but there's been some, you know, with Comey, and of course that's now, you know, being challenged and some of these other officials. So I guess I'm just trying to say to our audience, patience, which I do not normally have. I am usually the one saying, Lord, give me patience and give it to me fast.
which is not the way to ask for patience. But in this particular scenario of trying to root out corruption at the federal level, I am a little more patient because I recognize what we're up against and just how deep the state really is. So on the vaccine side of things, we're starting to get some common sense thrown into the mix of the vaccine religion, which is what has kind of like the climate, you know, global warming religion turned, kind of just renamed itself climate change so that it would fit no matter what the data says. In the same way, you have a vaccine religion out there, and a lot of people have made a lot of money on that religion and gotten their careers on that religion. And so take some time. It takes some time to shake that up and to change it. And there's been some positive developments, some very positive developments, frankly, things that I didn't know would if they would ever happen at the federal level. But it's going to take more time. And so the headlines that are that, you know, you've got, you know, basically the Americans calling for, you know, wanting to see more change and wanting to see more challenging to this, some actual science in this. So anyway, we're going to have to take a break, but I'd love for you to call in with your comments on any of these subjects. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And if you'd like to bring up a new subject, that's fine too. I'm not today is open table, man. Any topic that you want to talk about, we will throw it on the table. 888-589-8840. Be right back.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. A vacation with a purpose. That's what we call our tours here at American Family Radio, American Family Association, because we go and we see and we do and we have great fellowship and fun and food, but we also have a purpose in visiting the places we go to, a spiritual purpose, a historical purpose, and that's going to include our tours in 2026. Here are the tours. We're going to Washington, D.C. We're going to George Washington's Mount Vernon. We're going to Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We're going to Boston, Massachusetts. So if you want information on any of those tours for 2026, the dates, the prices, the itinerary, go to this website, wildmangroup.com, W-I-L-D-M-O-N, group.com, and we hope to see you on one of our 2026 Spiritual Heritage Tours.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for joining me on this Thursday. Next headline up, phone number, by the way, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Before I get to the president, literally calling, I mean, get this is pretty heavy, man. He says seditious behavior punishable by death. So he's referring to these Democrats asking for military service members to defy orders. Now, they're saying illegal orders, so they've kind of maybe protected themselves there. We'll see. We'll talk about that one in just a second, but had to first also mention kudos to Brooke Rollins and what she's doing over at Department of Agriculture to try to stop a lot of this fraud. I mentioned it Tuesday, but the, what is it, 186,000 or nearly 200,000 dead people getting benefits and 500,000 people getting double benefits. I mean, this is, again, just exposing why the federal government should not be in this space at all. I mean, this is just one of many. All the stuff Doge exposed back in January, February, March, I mean, we ought to keep talking about that in the midterms over and over and over again, just saying, look at all of this. I mean, it's trillions of dollars now that is being spent unconstitutionally. And here you have one specific area with the data showing how bad the fraud gets. I don't know what the total budgetary numbers are on all of that fraud on the SNAP and lunch programs and everything else where people double dip and triple dip and keep getting checks while they're dead. But it is remarkable. And the fact that it's continuing to get exposed and that the Trump administration is actually doing something about it is great. Now, I wish, I understand, I can hear some of you complaining already. Yeah, it would be a lot better if they had implemented the Doge suggestions. If they had not run Elon Musk out of town and allowed him to do all the huge cuts, that would have been much better. That is how swampy the swamp is. Okay, that's just the reality of what we're up against. And that's why it's going to take time. And that's why we have to chip away at it and get every victory we possibly can. But it's also why I'm going to be a broken record. We have to do constitutional amendments to wipe out entire departments at the federal level. We have to do the Declaration of Independence, alter or abolish. Let's not forget how Jefferson set this whole thing up, that when any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. There are tons of departments that need to be abolished. There are all kinds of, you know, pieces of our government that need to be altered. We need to trim this thing down, and we need to redirect it back into its proper constitutional lane. We have the peaceable means to do that. We don't have to go to civil war to do that. We don't have to have an insurrection, which is what these members of the Democrat Party are calling for. We just have to follow the law and do the proper things within the context of how our system works, and we can alter or abolish. What these Democrats that President Trump is calling for, not just investigation, but potentially the ultimate punishment for sedition and treason is death. These people are actually saying to the military, don't follow orders. Now, you can throw in the word illegal orders every once in a while and maybe win the fight in court later on, but you've already created the chaos. You've basically said to every military member out there, you decide which orders are legal and which ones aren't. And now I want to be careful how I address this subject, because I do believe in an individual having to at some point make a decision if they're being told to do something that is unconstitutional and illegal and wrong. I do believe there is a proper place to disobey. There is a time to say, if a superior officer is telling you to go put a bullet in somebody's head, without a trial and without a, if you're not on the firing squad line executing an actual finding in court for the ultimate price of death by execution, after all of those constitutional means have been exhausted, and you're not the one on the firing line firing that shot, and a superior officer is telling you to just take the law into your own hands and go put a bullet in somebody's head because they don't like the way they're acting, obviously you should disobey that order. Okay, I'm giving you a major extreme here. That I hope we would all agree with. And then there's nuance. There are points at which an officer or any member of the military has to say, actually, I'm now being asked to do something. Maybe it's round people up in a city that are legal citizens. I'm not talking about illegals here. I'm not talking about helping ICE do their job. I'm talking about we end up with some sort of, and that's what the Democrats are trying to lie and create a perception of, we end up with some sort of German Nazi situation where they're rounding up legal citizens, people that are just living out their faith and trying to be good American citizens, and now you've got a weaponized government saying that because of, COVID or whatever, we're gonna round up people just living their life, doing what is a normal American way of life by American citizens, and we're going to put them in the gulag. There is a point in that scenario where you're going to have to, at some point, potentially have entire platoons walking off the job or whatever. Hopefully we don't end up back in a situation like that, but we could. That's the scenario they're trying to paint here, which is a lie, total deception. What they're upset about and what they're trying to stop people from doing, I think, if I'm understanding this right, is they are upset that the president's trying to actually follow the law. So they're actually encouraging members of the military to refuse orders to actually follow the Constitution and enforce the Constitution. That is a problem. That is sedition. Now you are actually telling troops to disobey their commander-in-chief when he's actually following the law. He's actually doing exactly what the Constitution says to do and what courts have upheld the president doing. But they're trying to create confusion. They're trying to act like, no, we're not supposed to deport illegal aliens. Or we're not supposed to help our local cities that are being overrun by crime. We're not supposed to help them enforce their laws. So they're trying to create confusion here. Let's not forget, we had an election about this very subject. This is it's not like we elected some president and he came into office never having talked about doing anything like this. And never having any debate questions on this subject, his officials that are in the positions of leadership in the agencies never having addressed these subjects. This is not a new subject that went without debate in front of the American people. The American people have debated this subject for years and years, and have been extremely outspoken on this subject in saying we want our streets to be safe. We want illegal aliens gone. We want you to round up these gang members that are not even American citizens and get them out of our country. This is not even, I mean, I'm shocked that these members of Congress are willing to try to create confusion on this after a landslide victory for a president with this being the number one issue. This whole issue of closing the border, stopping the flow of illegal aliens, and then finding and rounding up the illegals that Joe Biden invited into our country to wreak havoc and getting them out of our country. There is zero question that this was answered by the American people and the president was told to go do this. Now, what the left and the Democrats are trying to do, they want these thugs in our country. They want chaos on our streets. They want havoc in our elections. And they want to try to create a manipulation of our election process. And they know this is the cover, this is the vehicle for how they've been able to do it. So for them, yeah, this is an existential threat. Following the law and the Constitution is an existential threat to the Democrat Party. If we actually follow the law and follow the Constitution, you're going to see a Congress with a 30 or 40 or 50 vote majority for Republicans. You're going to see a president with the ability to actually have a constitutional republic restored in America where we have legal citizens here and only legal citizens voting and only legal citizens being counted in the enumeration and therefore the representation in Congress being apportioned in a fashion that reflects only legal citizens. So, folks, you put those three things together in the Democrat Party, it could be absolutely decimated. They will have no power. And so, of course, they're going to do everything they can to prevent this from happening. Now, I will admit, I don't know who most of these members are. The only name I even recognize out of the, and I haven't even watched the video itself. I've seen very fast clips of it, but the article in the Epoch Times says it's, Senators Elisa Slotkin from Michigan. I know nothing about her. Mark Kelly, that's the one name I recognize from Arizona. He should be absolutely ashamed of himself because he is a military officer or astronaut, or I can't remember. I think he's a former officer in the military. But anyway, Jason Crow from Colorado, Maggie Goodlander from New Hampshire, Chris DeLuzio from Pennsylvania, and Chrissy Houlihan from Pennsylvania. President Trump says that by saying that there are threats to our Constitution right here at home and encouraging military officers to refuse to follow orders, and they're saying illegal orders, but still, that these folks have committed sedition and should be prosecuted. Again, I'm not familiar with any of them except Mark Kelly. But yeah, I mean, look, this is dangerous, dangerous language to say these things. And I think, let's see, so all six serve on committees overseeing national security, and several are former CIA officers or members of the military. So, yeah, if they're on committees overseeing national security, I mean, Republican leadership, where are you? Where are the calls to remove them from these committees? I mean, why aren't we playing hardball? Why aren't we responding to this with swift action and saying when you encourage and suggest the undermining of our Constitution and the willingness to ignore all of the precedent for how you deal with insurrections in the country, for how you deal with a civil unrest, all the presidents in our history that have had the National Guard deployed domestically to enforce our laws and to do what Article 4, Section 4 allows the president to do. I mean, to ignore all of that and act like this is some kind of unprecedented thing. I cannot believe the president is calling in the National Guard. It's silly. It's childish if it wasn't working. But you got so many people civically ignorant in our country and you got a media willing to cover for these people and act like this is a legitimate call for civil disobedience that it starts to take on real impact. And there's going to be a lot of officers. And don't forget how woke our military has become. Don't forget what a mess Pete Hegseth is having to clean up. So there's a ton of people that were invited into the military that this is music to their ears, man. This just gives them exactly what they were wanting to be able to thwart Trump's agenda. I mean, folks, there are people all through the throughout all of these federal agencies, including the military, that are woke leftist communist, and they have already been plotting and planning and calling meetings of their staff as early as December of last year to say, how can we prevent Donald Trump, the duly elected president of the United States, from actually enforcing his agenda? So they've been looking for ways and been working, and that's why you have all the lawsuits and you have all of these efforts to stymie and prevent the president from doing exactly what the American people elected him to do. And so when you have congressmen and senators putting out videos like this, you're just encouraging that kind of lawlessness and that kind of sedition. It's literally sedition. So it's crazy times. Okay, let's go to the phones. We've got, Jane in Oregon. Jane, you're up first today. Phone number out there, folks, is 888-589-8840. Jane, go ahead. You're up first.
Well, I'm a senior, right? I live in Oregon now, but I was born and raised in California. And they had the Bracero program back when I was a kid.
I'm surprised most people don't know about that.
I'm old. Anyway, they would come over the border and work in the strawberries and, you know, the fields and things like that, and they'd get their pay and then they'd go back. And then periodically there would be sweeps where the ones who didn't go back would be picked up and taken back to Mexico. And that was just the way it was. Nobody thought anything about it. And I have to say this is a little bit iffy, I guess. But, you know, as a kid, we used to sleep with our doors and windows open all night long during the hot weather. And then a little red pickup, mini pickup, showed up in front of the house one day, and two brown men jumped out and came up and grabbed our furniture. And that was the end of our freedom. Yeah, you know, and I was just a little kid, but I didn't forget that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I tell you, the Bracero program, you know, I talked about that on a program, back in the spring, because it worked. You know, it raised revenue, for the American people and the government. It gave people that wanted to come over and work hard a way to come legally and through a process so that, you know, people could feel good about it. And it provided the employees that the companies here needed and not only agriculture but in other areas. And it was a good program. I don't know why more people haven't talked about that. I think maybe they think we're referring to that when we say things. You know, when I talk about, for instance, we should have legal immigration of people coming in that want to work as long as there's an ID and there's a process. I mean, that's essentially what that was. And even had, you know, basically it would reallocate the funds that the coyotes are getting right now. See, they're getting all these huge $9,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 fees to do the human trafficking of bringing people over. Well, why not charge that fee as the United States and say, okay, you can come over legally and be connected to an employer and work here, and instead of paying a thug $20,000 to do that, pay the American government $10,000 to do that. And you know, let's do this the right way. Why don't we talk about that kind of stuff? Why don't we do that? It would be the right way to do that. That is a real hole in the Republicans' immigration, at least rhetoric. I don't know. Maybe there's some congressmen that have proposed that, and I just don't know about it. Maybe you know about it. If you do, call in and let us know. 888-589-8840. Jerry, you're going to be up next when we come back from the break. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
We're back. Thanks for staying with me here on At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, talking about these seditious Democrats telling the military to ignore the president's orders, which his orders are telling them to implement the law, follow the law, and they are just willing to create chaos within our military. I don't even know. I don't even know what, you know. I don't know how specific they got in the video itself. So any of you calling in, if you got specifics on that, I'd love to hear it. But Jerry in Texas, go ahead, man. You're retired military.
Hey, brother. There you go. I don't know you. The background music was playing. I am, and I saw some of the video, and I agree with what you said. I think they said because they specifically. Let me start. Disregard my last. A few of them specifically stated don't follow unlawful orders. However, my comment is that, one, they didn't do this with any other president. Two, I agree with the gentleman that you were talking about, I think from Arizona, that was in the Navy. I am retired Navy. I had just like most people in the Navy, I did my 20. I served faithfully. There were presidents and administrations I didn't agree with. It was not my job. My job was to follow the orders of those that are appointed over me, as the oath of enlistment requires. The thing is that there's got to be something that we can do to hold these people accountable. However, again, the problem is that they don't hold themselves accountable. So other than trying to vote these idiots out, I'm having a hard time not wanting to find other means. And I'm going to let you go on that.
Yeah, and you know the crazy thing, Jerry? The crazy thing to me is that a state like Arizona would send someone to Congress that would do this. You know, Arizona, I mean, I get it. It's been infiltrated, right? I mean, it's been, literally been invaded, and the numbers have changed dramatically over the last few years. I truly think they stole the election from Kerry Lake, and then Katie Hobbs was able to usher in even more of this chaos and nonsense. But I just can't. I mean, I expect a senator or congressman from California to do something like this, but Arizona, come on, Arizona, you got to do better. And it is it's frustrating because I hate to be Bill Clinton here, but I feel your pain. I mean, I do. I it's like you go, okay, what else can we do? And I think the answer is you have to do what Donald Trump is calling for. You have to prosecute. You have to play hardball with these people and not just, you know, let them. I mean, think about how oppressive the left was when they had power with the Biden administration, with the Otto Penn administration. When the Marxist in the White House, whoever it was that was actually running the show, since Biden was clearly out to lunch, when they had the chance, they locked us up. They ruined lives. They prosecuted everyone they could. They spent your money paying for air marshals to follow around anyone that flew into Washington, D.C. or out of Washington, D.C. January 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, around the January 6th date. They went so far to the extremes with our money, with our agencies, with our government, and the way that they manipulated and lied and absolutely undermined any sense of justice was so disgusting and ugly. Why are they willing to manipulate, lie, and undermine the justice system, and we're not willing to even properly use the justice system? Why are we such wimps that we don't take the book and throw it at them when the book is properly expected to be thrown, when it is absolutely appropriate to go after them for these things? Why is Adam Schiff not charged right now for the things that he did with that committee? Why? And now apparently mortgage fraud and everything else they're going after Letitia James for. Why are we not doing even more? Now, I started the program saying that I was going to be patient, and now I'm closing out my last segment not being patient. I know. I get it. There's some schizophrenia going on with me right now on the program. But it's because, and I guess what I'm saying is, I'm mad at not just, this isn't just a DOJ thing here. I'm talking about every elected Republican district attorney in the country, every Republican attorney general in the country, every Republican U.S. attorney that's been appointed by President Trump. I'm talking about being as aggressive, being Winston Churchill and fighting them in the streets. Abe and I were talking about this on his program last night, Abe Hamilton. you know, fighting them in the streets, in the air, everywhere, right? On the beaches. Where? Why are we not using the power when we get the power? Now, I do think that Kash Patel and Dan Bongino are trying to do that at the FBI. They're trying to redirect that agency to be a proper use of investigative powers. Now, if you've listened long, you know, I don't even think it's, I think they should get rid of the FBI. I don't even think it's a constitutional arm of the federal government. But it, as long as it is going to exist, they're doing I think they're doing everything they can to redirect what is a behemoth and a weaponized agency. The Department of Justice, who they have to answer to, I'm not sure. I think Black Walker and I said Tuesday, you know, and frankly, I said this on Flashpoint Monday night, you know, Pam Bondi is, I am getting impatient with her. And she's clearly fumbled the ball on Epstein and a lot of these other things. And so, you know, I'll wait till after the first of the year to really start shouting from the rooftops, because I promised my patience wouldn't run out until then. But I'm speaking to the overall strategy and attitude and just trying to answer Jerry's question. What can we do? We have to use the constitutional, peaceable means at our fingertips and not be afraid to use the power when we have the power. And I think that's essentially what President Trump is pushing for here, is to say when the other side gets out of line, we should be absolutely right there pushing them back in line. And that's going to require investigations of these members of Congress. Are they in fact calling for sedition? If not, if they win at the end of the day, fine. But make them fight that fight. Don't just lay down and refuse to go after them. Let's push on every front the way that they have. Let me take that back. Not the way that they have, because they lied and manipulated and abused the system. I'm just saying use the system as it was intended to be used in the first place. All right, let's just get back to the phones before I bust a vein here. Bill in Alabama, roll tide, man. Go ahead.
No, we don't roll tide. I'm sorry. I'm not a Tide fan.
I got an Auburn boy.
Don't even go there. But no, we ain't even got an Auburn boy. I'll tell you what. You have just taken all my thunder from everything you said.
Oh, no.
If they can constitutionally, under the law, prosecute these senators and congressmen who went ahead and told officers of the military to tell their troops not to do something that President Trump had told them to do that is constitutionally true, they need to be prosecuted, kicked out of the military, and thrown in jail.
Yeah, man.
Not even stop. Don't even stop anywhere. Do what the law and the Constitution allows.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I'll tell you, Bill, there's so many, you know, obviously that would be the ultimate, but there's also steps in between. And I'm all for firing every weapon in the gun. And so it's not only prosecute them for sedition and you know, undermining the president's authority here, but it's just the Republican Congress using the power that it has. You don't think the Democrats would have been pulling chairmanships and committee memberships and all of those things over something like this? Look at what they did with the J6 committee. Look at what they tried to do to Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley. I mean, let's go back 4 years, 5 years, really. Let's go back to after January 6th, 2021, Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz were simply following the Constitution, literally doing exactly what the 12th Amendment says to do, and even going beyond that and doing what the Electoral Count Act says to do, which is to allow for those votes between the House and the Senate about disputed electors and try to determine which electors to count. I mean, there has to be some kind of process here. And these two senators were simply saying, let's follow the process. Let's have an investigation. Let's pause for a week and allow a committee to investigate which electors we should be following or counting and just have an open, you know, a process that people can watch and then we can make sure that we got it right. They weren't trying to overturn an election, which is what the line was coming out of that. They were trying to follow the constitutional process. And then wherever it led, inaugurate that person on January 20th. Plenty of time to do that. 14 days they could have done that. That's all they were doing. And what did the left do? they went after those two guys with a vengeance. There were calls for arresting and investigating and removing them from the Senate. Josh Hawley lost his book deal. They were, it was chaos. There were calls to keep him off the ballot. Do you remember that? They tried to keep President Trump off the ballot. They tried to keep any senator or congressman that objected to electors off the ballot, even though Democrats have been doing that for 20 years. So the things that the other side did to our people, when our people were simply following the Constitution, don't forget that they prosecuted. They have been trying to jail members in Michigan and other states of the Republican Party that simply were doing their job as electors. And I covered this on previous programs. So we don't have time to go far. But the way the Electoral College works and the way that you choose electors by both parties and then the electors sit for the official casting of the ballots for the president and all that, when you have disputed electors, both sets of electors are supposed to meet and do their thing and send those electors to Congress, and then Congress has to decide which ones are official. They were doing their job under the Constitution. And what did Democrats do? Ruined their lives. Tried to destroy their lives and put them in jail for following the Constitution. The least we can do is use the power of prosecution when people are actually violating the Constitution. That's all I'm asking for. All right. I better calm down. We only have 5 minutes left. So let's see who else we can get in here. How about Kansas? Kay in Kansas. Go for it. You're up next.
Yes. Well, there is, I first want to say, holy anger, and that's what, you know, we are Amen. Supposed to have when there is injustice. And Micah 6:8, God spells it out there that I showed you, man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of you but to do justly. And we... Mm-hmm. As Christians, God uses human agency. I mean, all through Scripture, except for creation, and when He comes back in the book of Revelation, when the Lord comes back, the pages of Scripture are filled with God using human agents. We need an active recruiting of Christian men, God-fearing men, to step up to office,
yes.
to run for
yes.
public offices. Even you, Rick, you may not want to hear that, but you may need to run again for some office. And recruitment is essential.
Yeah.
I mean, voting and praying, these are just a givens for Christians. But going to conferences alone, that's not doing. Doing justly is what God wants. Mm. And God has said in the pages of Leviticus, and He told Noah, who was a Gentile, the Scripture says Noah was a Gentile, and it was before Abraham, that you have to put murderers to death. Okay, there's no justice in the land if that doesn't happen. And God said He will vomit out the inhabitants of the land, everybody, the land will become uninhabitable if we're going to turn a blind eye and disregard and take lightly what God says about that. That's in Leviticus 18.
Man, Kay, that is good stuff. This is the perfect call to end today's program with. I was trying to find in my new book, Rebuilding Liberty, I wanted to make sure I got the number right here. Yeah, brick 7 for rebuilding liberty in our country. And I talk about the bricks necessary to rebuild and the mortar necessary. And brick number 7, having blind equal justice, being willing to do exactly what you just said, to do justice. Two things I'm going to take from your call, Kay, and one of those is, you know, be angry and sin not. I know it's a righteous anger. I always have to make sure, okay, am I doing this? Am I making sure this is righteous anger and I'm not sinning, right? But I'm just being righteously angry. So thank you for that. And then to do justice. Folks, she said it exactly right. Going to conferences is not enough. Certainly, just listening to radio programs is not enough. We have to take action. We have to do justice. And she mentioned specifically good candidates. We're in that season right now. I mean, we're down to a couple of weeks for the filing deadline in my home state of Texas. Most of you listening across the country, your deadlines are either coming up really quick or they'll be right after the first of the year. Think and pray about that. Maybe you need to run for school board, city council, county commissioner, maybe state legislature, maybe even Congress. Pray about it. Make sure that you're getting confirmation. Other people are telling you should run as well. But she's right. She's absolutely right. We need to flood the zone. It's one of the things in our Rebuilding Liberty plan. 10,000 candidates flooding the zone over the next few years. Maybe one of those is you. If you want to know more about how to do all those things, if you want to get trained on how to be good at that, PatriotAcademy.com. That's what we do. PatriotAcademy.com. Wow. What a day. What a day. Appreciate you listening today. I'm Rick Green. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.